Exodus chapter 20, we want to continue looking at the series of the Ten Commandments. I was intending to try and take two today, but last night when I was finishing this off, I realized I just can't squeeze the two commandments into one message. So next week, God willing, we'll look at the fourth commandment, but today we're just going to focus on the third commandment of honoring God's name. And I'll just read verse 7, because it's a very short commandment. It says, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain." Now, this third commandment is one that really we are not so familiar with. In fact, many people here may think that is a commandment that has very little relevance to them. They say, well, I don't use God's name as a curse word. I'm not a person who blasphemes God's name. So this commandment is not really directed to me. It's really redundant. Well, I hope by the end of today's message, you will discover that this commandment is much broader than what you initially think, and is one that you probably break many times, not just in your life, but even every week. Now, let's begin by examining the language. It says, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain." What does the expression "taking the name of God in vain" mean? Well, the Hebrew word "in vain," that's translated "in vain," means to treat God's name lightly, frivolously, loosely, or just casually. So it's a much broader meaning than simply to use God's name as a blasphemy. Now, our names are very important to us, aren't they? When I was born, my parents chose my name. I had no choice. And they gave me, as I was the first grandson, the two names of my grandfathers, which is a tradition in the part of the world that I come from. And I was called Paul, because that's the Christian name. My parents wanted a Christian name. And then my grandfather, Samuel. And then my other grandfather, George. And then my surname, Ferguson. It's a long name for a small person. But I grew into it. But as a baby, I carried those four names. Paul, Samuel, George, Ferguson. And all of us are very particular about our names. Have you ever noticed if someone mispronounces your name? Or you see a document where your name's spelt wrongly? There's something in us that says, huh, that's my name. It must be treated correctly. Celebrities pay millions to protect their names, don't they? Large companies spend millions and millions protecting their brand name. And often you discover the more powerful a person's name is, the more effort they make to protect it. Isn't that right? Now, in the Bible, there are over 300 names for God. Now, I'm sure many of you are familiar with a number of these names, like Jehovah Jireh, God our Provider, Jehovah Tsidkenu, God our Righteousness. Many, many names given to God in the Bible, given by God to himself in the Bible. And each name reveals something about God's character, something about God's promises to his people. And you and I bear the name of God. If someone says to you, what religion are you here in Singapore? What do we say? I am a Christian. Now, what does the name Christian mean? It means literally Christ ones. That's where the name Christian comes from. And it was given to people who said, I belong to Jesus Christ. I bear his name. I'm a Christ one. Another name given to Christians in the Bible is the name saints. I know today people talk about, oh, there are only a few saints, Saint Paul and Saint Peter. Well, no, the Bible says every true child of God is a saint. Now, the word saint literally means a holy one or holy ones. You and I bear the name holy ones, Christ ones, Christians. And you know, when a father sends a son out into the world, or a daughter, carrying his name, they are to respect that name, isn't that right? If a son or a daughter misbehaves in public, they bring the name of their father into disrepute. They dishonor that name. It's even more important when you belong to the greatest name of all, God's name. You bear his name. That when you disrespect it, when you bring it into disrepute, how much more important is it when you dishonor him by your conduct? Many years ago, you've heard me tell this story, Alexander the Great was in charge of his army. And they brought a man in who was a thief. And Alexander said to the man, is it true that you have been caught stealing? The man said, yes, it's true. And Alexander said to him, what is your name? And the man looked at Alexander and he says, sir, by coincidence, my name is also Alexander. He was named after the great general, his leader. And Alexander looked at him, and he said to this young soldier, he says, soldier, you must either change your conduct or change your name. One of the two. Well, God is really saying that to us today in this commandment. If you carry my name, you bear my name, don't bring it into disrespect. And you know, if you were to go to the synagogue, just the one down the road in Singapore, or any synagogue around the world, you'll discover the Jews take this very, very seriously, the name of God. In fact, they go over the top in some ways. The word that's translated the Lord thy God here is the word Jehovah or Yahweh. If you were to go into the synagogue, just I've been to the one in Singapore, they have these Ten Commandments on the wall, and you were to ask the rabbi or any of the Jews there who can read Hebrew, can you read the Ten Commandments for me in Hebrew? Well, when they come to the name God, they won't say Jehovah or Yahweh. Do you know what they say? They say Hashem. Ha means the, Shem means name. They refuse to say God's name. It's so sacred to them. And they say the name. Every time they read the Bible and you see the word Jehovah, they say the name. They won't say God because it's so sacred to them. And even when the Jewish scribes are copying the Bible, as soon as they come to the name Jehovah, they put down their pens and then they wash themselves. Wash their hands, wash their body, wash their clothes. And then they come back and they write the name Jehovah. That's how sacred the Jews treat the name of God. Now, that's not a biblical way to behave. Because we should use the name God, because it's in the Bible. But it does give you a little insight into how much they fear misusing the name of God. Sadly, we've fallen into the other extreme. We just throw God's name around as if he's somebody just like us. We disrespect it. We bring it into disrepute. So when it says, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, what exactly does that mean in terms of your life and my life? How can we as Christians take God's name in vain? Well, let's pick out the easy way, or the easy one first. If we use God's name as a profanity, that's obviously taking it in vain, isn't it? And I'm sure you've heard people all around you use God's name as a curse word. I hope you wince. You feel uncomfortable if you put your television on and you hear some actor blaspheme God's name. Or you're sitting in the workplace and someone uses it as a curse word. I hope that concerns you, irritates you. It should, because it's dishonoring the God that you claim to love. Many years ago, there was a president in the United States called Richard Nixon. And he was caught on tapes called the Watergate tapes, speaking privately. And many Americans were shocked when the tapes were played, released, when they heard the private conversation of Richard Nixon was full of blasphemies about God. They couldn't believe that the president of the United States would use God's name in such a way and use it so many times in his conversation as a curse word. Now, why does the devil encourage people to blaspheme God's name? Well, because Satan knows God's name has power and authority. He's afraid of it. And he's trying to desensitize you and I from understanding the power of God through his name and who he is. And I always think when you hear people blaspheme God, there's sweetness in the bitterness of it. You say to me, what do you mean by that? Well, have you noticed they don't use any other God to blaspheme? No other religious leader, do they say, use his name to blaspheme? All these Hollywood, or I call them Hollyweird people, they don't use the name of other religious leaders in their movies. They use the name of Jesus, don't they? They use the name of God as a curse word. Now that just tells you and I that that's the name they're afraid of. That's the name that's real. That's the name that the devil knows has power. And as I said, there's then sweetness amongst the bitterness, because it's an evidence to you and I that this God is the real God. This God whose name is blasphemed must have something the devil fears. You notice people never say, oh my devil? You ever notice that? Because the devil's name has no power. Has no great influence, ultimately, in changing lives. In 1904, in the Welsh Revival, they had a very interesting situation. Because when the Welsh miners were converted, 100,000 of them, in just 18 months, they discovered that the animals that worked with them in the mines, especially the ponies, had to be replaced. You may say, well, why did they replace the animals? Well, because the animals before the revival, before all these people were converted, were used to orders with curse words and blasphemies. But after the miners got converted, they no longer used God's name as a blasphemy. And the animals couldn't respond to the commands. The owners of the mines had to replace all the ponies. And then they had to be retrained, these new ponies, how to respond to words that don't include blasphemy and curses. I remember a story of a man years ago, an American man, who was a terrible blasphemer, cursor, before he was saved. And after he was saved, a little girl said to him one day in church, sir, she said, why do you speak so funny? Why is your English so bad? He said to her, I know, he says, but you need to remember this, my dear. I lost half my vocabulary when I became a Christian. And even Christians, let me say this, misuse God's name in a profane way. They throw out the name, Lord have mercy, or, oh God, oh my God. And we never should profane God's name in such a way. Now, there are other aspects to this in profaning God's name. When you are angry towards God, you're profaning his name. When you're like Naomi, bitter towards God, you're profaning his name. You're dishonoring his name. When you refuse to do what he tells you, you're dishonoring his name. That's taking his name in vain. When you say, I'm a Christian, and you go into the workplace and you refuse to submit to your employer, that's profaning God's name. When you go to the home, if you're a wife, and you refuse to submit to the will of your husband, you're profaning God's name. When you're a husband and you refuse to love your wife as Christ loved the church, you're profaning God's name. Oh, this goes very wide. And the rule is very simple. If you're talking about God's character or God's name in a context inconsistent with his character and his goodness, that is profanity. That is profanity. So that's the first way you misuse God's name, by simple profaning it. But there's other ways. Number two, if we use God's name flippantly, carelessly, we profane his name. When you talk about holy things, sacred things, when you treat your Bible like any other book, you are profaning God's name. When I was a boy growing up, people would never allow anybody to put another book on the Bible. I still don't like to see it in my own home if I see my children. I said, no, take the book off the Bible. This is not like any other book. I don't like to see people throw the Bible around. When you go into a Christian home in Ireland, you'll discover that it's different from all the other homes because on the walls you'll see all the Bible verses. Reminding everybody, this is a Christian place. This is a Christian home. We honor God's name. So don't profane it by misusing it. And if you use God's name in a flippant, casual way, you treat the Bible in a flippant, casual way, you're profaning his name. Of course, there are people who joke about God. They bring God into their humor. And you hear them talking about, oh, the man upstairs. You heard people say that? The big fella. By doing that, they're belittling God. They're making fun of him. They're reducing him to a level that he is not, to our level. That's profanity. But it goes much further. If you pray without thinking, you're profaning his name. Listen to what Jesus said. If you turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6 on the Sermon on the Mount. The Lord Jesus said this. He says, but when ye pray. Now he doesn't say if you pray. He expects us to pray. When? It's a natural thing, he says. It's an expected thing. When ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. In other words, Jesus says, when you're praying and you're doing so in a way where you're not thinking about it, you're just going through a ritual. And you see these people, don't you, in other religions, they have beads and all kinds of things, and they just rattle off the prayer. And some of them even get into a bit of a trance. When they're doing, some of them you can see in certain religions are going like this almost, into a frenzy. Their mind's not engaged, their emotions are engaged, that's all. They're not thinking about what they're saying. They're just caught up in the feelings. That's vain repetitions. When you pray, you're meant to think about what you pray. You're meant to be fully engaged in your mind in what you pray. And any time you pray and you're not thinking, you're profaning God's name. You're dishonoring God's name, because prayer is coming in the name of the Lord, to the Lord. When you sing hymns and choruses, and you do so without thinking, that's vain praise, the Bible says. God says, such people draw near to me with their lips, but not their hearts. They're just saying the words. Maybe you did it today during the hymn singing. Maybe you just had memorized the words, having sung them before, and you were thinking about all kinds of other things, making plans about what you'll do for lunch, who you'll talk to, where you'll go, what you're going to do tomorrow. Well, as you were doing that, you were profaning God's name. You were dishonoring God's name. You were breaking this third commandment. Empty praise, vain repetition in prayer. All of these things are using God's name the wrong way. All of these things are caught by this third commandment. But here's another aspect of misusing or profaning God's name. Some people use God's name to justify and cover up their sins. Let me give you a couple of examples. Go to Genesis 27. Genesis chapter 27. And we have this incident here of the story of Jacob and Esau. And Jacob decides he is going to deceive his father. His father was now blind or almost blind. And Jacob and his mother, Rebekah, decided to deceive their father and pretend that Jacob was Esau so that Jacob could get the special birthright blessing. Now Jacob went away, and in verse 18, he says, "Here am I. Who art thou, my son?" his father said. And this is what Jacob says, verse 19. "I am Esau, thy firstborn." Was that true? That was a lie. It was a deception. We don't even have to think too hard about that one, is it? It's not even, people say it's a little white lie. No, it's a big black lie. But then in verse 20, Isaac said unto his son, he's a little bit suspicious. He says, "How is it that thou hast found the venison or the meat so quickly, my son?" Seems strange. You went out to cook, hunt, and then cook, and you came back with a KFC delivery. Huh? 1 hour. How come? That was quick. And what does Jacob say to cover up his lie? He says, verse 20, "Because the Lord thy God brought it to me." He uses God's name to cover up the lie, to enhance the lie and the deception. And any time a person takes God's name and uses it to promote a sin, a secret sin, that's profaning God's name. You'll meet people who do this all the time. They'll come around and ask you questions, hoping to find some gossip. And then if you say, "Hey, why are you questioning me?" They say, "Oh, I'm just asking because the Bible says you're to pray for other people. You're to show concern." But deep in their hearts, that's not the real motive. The real motive is to be a tittle-tattle, a busybody. That's profaning God's name. When you take God's name and use it to justify a sin, to cover up a sin. Let me give you another example. Go to 2 Samuel chapter 15. 2 Samuel chapter 15. And here's one of the greatest liars of all time called Absalom. Oh boy, this guy, he could lie for the world, couldn't he? Satan's right-hand man. And Absalom, he was plotting to murder his father and seize the throne of his father. That's what he hoped to do. But of course, he can't tell Dad that. So he has to come up with a lie to justify what he's about to do. And what he was about to do was he was about to go away to a place called Hebron, where kings were anointed. And he was going to gather all his followers there and then launch a coup against his father and murder his father and then seize the throne. But of course, he has to make sure Dad is not suspicious, because Dad has powerful soldiers around him like Joab. And his father himself was a powerful fighter. So Absalom has to sweeten the lie, or sweeten the deception with a lie. And of course, no better way to deceive his father David, a godly man, than to use God's name. So in verse 7 it says, "It came to pass," 2 Samuel 15, "after 40 years, that Absalom said unto the king, I pray thee, let me go and pay my vow which I have vowed unto the Lord in Hebron." Oh. Absalom says to David, very pious, you know, "I have been a sinner and I have done bad things. I've let you down, Dad. But now I want to go to Hebron and I want to thank the Lord there, and I vowed to go back to that place if God restored me back to my place in the nation of Israel." Now, Absalom, by the way, had murdered his brother. But now he says to Dad, "I want to get it right. And I want to go to Hebron. And there I want to pay my vow to the Lord." And he uses the name Jehovah. You'll notice this in capitals in our translation to emphasize. He quotes the name Jehovah. Now, was he going there to pay his vow to the Lord? No, he was not. He was going there to rebel against the Lord. He was going there to launch a rebellion against his father. But Absalom has no problem taking God's name and using it to cover up his sin, to justify his rebellion, his real motive. And you'll meet a lot of Absaloms in your life, I promise you. You'll meet them amongst the people of God. And they will use God's name to cover their real motive. They'll even quote Bible verses. But remember this. They may fool you, but they don't fool God. Absalom fooled his father. Because notice what it says in verse 9. "And the king said unto him, Go in peace." David says, "Shalom, peace, may God be with you." If you look at those verses 7 and 8 of that chapter, you'll see that Absalom brings God's name into the conversation 3 times. And he calls himself your servant. He tells his dad, "I'm your servant." So beware of such people. Beware that it's not you taking God's name to cover up a real false motive in your life. That's profaning God's name. That's taking the name of the Lord in vain. But then there's a fourth way you or I can take the name of the Lord in vain. We can take the name of the Lord in vain when we take a vow, make a promise, and then break the promise. People say in the witness box, don't they? "So help me God." And then stand and tell a pack of lies. I sometimes watch these senators and congressmen in America, and these people who are brought in to give evidence, and they put their hand up and they swear to tell the truth and the whole truth and nothing but the truth. And then they spend the next 2 or 3 hours just telling a pack of lies. And some of them even get prosecuted for the lies. They have no fear of God. And there are Christians who do the same. They take marital vows and then they just disregard them. They think they're just little statements of hope, aspirations that you can pick or choose. No, you can't do that. God holds you to them. Some take membership vows and then just cast them out as if they're nothing. And they think, well, it doesn't matter. Nobody sees. I've got away with it. Well, this commandment we're going to see in a second is a promise from God. He sees. And you don't get away with it. God will settle the account someday. Payday will come. To every person who takes God's name in a vow and then does the very opposite of what they've committed to doing. Now, let me make it very personal. Anytime as a Christian you give your word in public to do something and you break your word, you are profaning God's name because you carry His name. And that goes as far as little commitments you make in the workplace, contracts you sign. Not just marital vows or membership vows, but any commitment you make as a Christian before God, in the presence of God, and you then break it, treat it as nothing, then you're profaning God's name. You're misusing God's name. Now, what does that teach you and I? Be careful what you say. Be careful what you commit to. Because when you make the commitment, God will keep you to your word. God will hold you to your word. And you know, here's the great irony. People get upset when other people let them down. Have you ever noticed that? When other people break their word, they get very angry if they even perceive God hasn't done something that they think He should do for them. But yet they think nothing. Just breaking their word. Of letting other people down. Especially letting God down. And they say, no big deal. The rules don't apply to me. Well, this commandment, I told you at the beginning of this message, you will discover it will apply to you every day. It's a very powerful commandment. Because it'll drill into every aspect of your life. Be careful what you say. Be careful what you commit to, because God will keep you to it. You cannot keep God out of any transaction that you do. Any transaction. But then, let us notice this finally. The penalty. Because we have to be faithful to God's word here. What's the penalty for misusing God's name? Go back to Exodus 20, verse 7. It says, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Semicolon. There's something coming next. What's next? It says, for the Lord. It doesn't say for the church, for the company, for the government. Now, why doesn't it say that? Well, the church or the government or the company that you work for, they may not know that you profane God's name, that you've broken your word. So you might think, I've got away with it. No big deal. Maybe you're even laughing to yourself. Sneering at those in authority over you. Look at them. They don't even see. They're so stupid. So blind. Now, but this commandment says something very important. It says, the God whose name you have profaned by your conduct, He will deal with you. It says, for the Lord will not hold him guilty. In other words, it says, God won't let you away with it.
He won't let you sin successfully in profaning his name. That taketh his name in vain. Now, how does God deal with the person? Here's the simple answer. I don't know. God has a billion ways to deal with a person. Some people he sends all kinds of problems. Some people he empties their soul of satisfaction. Some people he brings difficulties and problems. You read through the Bible, you see God coming after those who have profaned his name, who bear his name, with all kinds of chastisements. So I don't know which one God's going to choose for you. I just know that he will do it in his time and in his way. Of course, for the unbeliever, we know that the ultimate act of God dealing with him will come at the end of time, when all the books are open. Do you notice it says in the book of Revelation, all the books are open. And every deed, every word, every thought that a person has said or done or thought will be uncovered by God, judged by God. So, let me make it very clear this morning, lest there's any confusion about this. If you profane God's name, in whatever way, expect God to come after you. Expect God to come after you. Turn with me to Psalm 51. Let me just show you something. I've mentioned this before, but it's worth reflecting on. King David profaned God's name by his sin. David refused to accept his sin for 9 months. He kept covering it up. He kept leading the worship in the tabernacle. He kept singing his songs with his harp. Kept faking it. But something was going on in David's life. And he reveals it in this psalm. He says in verse 6, "Behold, thou desirest truth," where? In the inward parts. Oh, David knew. You can fool some of the people, you can fool even all of the people, but you can't fool God. God sees his real motive. David says in verse 8, "Make me to hear joy and gladness." Something had gone from David's heart and life and ministry. In his backsliding, in his profaning of God's name, he had lost the joy of God. He had lost the gladness of life. He goes on to say in verse 8, "That the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice." Now, I don't think these are physical bones that David's talking about, although it may have been included physical bones. We just don't know. But we do know that in this period of time, and the subsequent period of time, God dealt with David in a very severe way for his sin. The child died. His marital relationships were in trouble. We discover that his sons turned on him, became murderers and rapists, liars, just like their father. Oh, that was a cross David had to bear to the end of his life. As he gave his last words before he died, he says, "Although my family is not so with the Lord." Oh, he knew the pain. He almost was weeping, I believe, as he wrote those things before he died. His four sons had died. Unbelievers. Four sons had gone into eternity. Wicked men. David knew it. So, in this psalm, David reveals a little bit of how God had not allowed him to get away with profaning his name. And I say this to you. Don't be pleased with yourself because you fooled other people. Don't pat yourself on the back. The devil will do that for you. But remember this, God sees you. God sees your heart. God sees your motive. And if you profane his name in any way, and all of us are guilty, that's why this third commandment is such a powerful commandment when you really understand it. And that's why we have to take time this morning to really think about it. If you understand the depth of what it is to profane God's name, you'll be very careful with how you live from now on. What you say from now on. You see, our speech reveals who we really are, doesn't it? Maybe you've come across someone who you've known for many years. And you've heard them say something, maybe recently in another context, maybe in the home, in the car. And the thought comes to you, I didn't know they were like that. Didn't know they were like that. I remember years ago in a car with a family, a couple. And the lady was so sweet in church. Oh, she could talk. Like Absalom. But she forgot I was in the back of the car. And she spoke to her husband in a way that was so vicious. In fact, her accent changed when she's in the church, so meek and so humble. But you see, all that really happened was she revealed her heart, her real self. Socrates, the great Greek poet, used to say to people, speak so that we can find out who you really are. A lot of truth in that, isn't there? And when you hear someone speak unexpectedly, in a way you didn't think they could talk that way, all you're really getting is a real glimpse of their heart, their real character. So what we say is who we really are. It's what our heart really is. And especially what we say when others are not watching or we think are not watching is who we really are. And God's plan for his people is that you and I learn to guard what we say. You know, the most powerful thing, human thing in the universe, is not the powerful arms that can lift great weights, or the powerful legs that can run miles at great speed. You know, the most powerful thing in the universe, from a human point of view, is your tongue. Because that tongue can start wars. Wars in your home. Wars in your workplace. That tongue can destroy reputations. And when we come to the commandment that says, thou shalt not kill, you'll discover it includes killing a person's reputation, slandering another person. And you know, we can control so many things. I was on a great airplane coming here just yesterday or the day before. A380 holds hundreds of people. A man is able to control many things in this universe or use them for his benefit. But there's one thing man has never learned to master or control. And it's one of the smallest things in your body, your tongue. And God wants you and I to learn, be careful what you say. Be careful what you promise. Be careful of your vocabulary. Speak the truth. Yeah, that's not enough. We struggle with just telling the truth. God says, no, that's not enough. Do you know what God says? You have to speak the truth the right way. Because Paul the Apostle writes in the book of Ephesians, but speaking the truth in love. That's not enough to simply tell the truth. You have to do it with the right motive and the right way. And any time you and I fall short of that great standard, we have profaned God's great name. What should you and I do today? Start today by changing your conversation. That's the first thing. We blame everybody for the things we say. We say, oh, but Pastor Paul, my wife provoked me. You don't know my boss. They're horrible. I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said it, but I said it. Let me ask you a very simple question. Did your boss put the words in your mouth? Did your boss move your tongue for you? Did your spouse move your tongue for you? No, it was you who said those things. You who spoke. And you know, we're very good at controlling our tongues when it suits us. Have you noticed that? We can argue with our wife coming down the alley here into the church, and as soon as we come into the church, suddenly conversation change. Or people do it, you notice, coming out of their houses, and as soon as they hit the lift in the HDB or the condo, they see one of the neighbors, oh, I'll have them a good morning. And they're so polite and so friendly, and butter wouldn't melt in their mouths. So we can control what we say, can't we? It's just an excuse that we use to cover up our misuse of the tongue. And God says, don't take my name in vain. Don't say you're a Christian and act like the devil. Don't say you belong to me and then contradict who I am by what you say and what you do and what you think. And I see it, he says, and I'll deal with you. I'll come after you if you misuse my name. There's only one name that's great. It's God's name. And how great is his name? The Bible says one day every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. His name is the greatest. Don't misuse it. Don't profane it this week. If you have done it last week, confess it. And say to the Lord, Lord, I profaned your name by the way I've behaved, by the things I've thought and done, said. But this week I want to be different. I want to live a better way, higher way. Seal my tongue. Anoint my tongue. Give me the words that you want me to say. You know what the Bible says? If anyone lacks wisdom, let him what? Ask of God. Not the speech therapist. Ask God. And he'll give you the wisdom. How to behave. What to say. Let us pray. Father, we thank thee for thy word. A commandment that we have overlooked. We love to focus on other commandments that reflect other people's sins. But so few of us look in the mirror of this commandment and say, I have sinned. I have profaned God's name. I have misrepresented him by my behavior, by my conversation. God, help us to change. Help us to guard the terrible tongue that gets us into so much trouble. We thank thee that Jesus Christ, we're told, was full of grace and truth. Help us to have his conversation as our conversation. Lord, we cannot change by our own efforts, but by the grace of God, we can. become what we should be. Lord, we just have to surrender. We just have to say, not my will, but thy will be done. We have to stop making excuses. Stop blaming others. And facing ourselves in the mirror of thy word. And say, Lord, change me. Help us, Lord, to have a conviction about this. To be distressed about this. For we ask all of these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.